Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the club.
Hey guys.
Well, what do we learn tonight? Never have Yamanika on Story Wars.
Oh, was it bad?
No, she was actually great, but she just takes over.
And she's
for some reason, whatever it is, she's actually intimidating. So like I'm like, okay, Yamanika, just take over.
He goes, I just don't want any trouble.
She just really takes over. If you think me and Jay talk over people a lot, woo.
Oh, the over talking tonight was world class.
I mean, a whole other fucking level.
You know what's a fun thing to notice, Dave, on Story Wars? Is that people, while me and Lewis are talking to the audience, sometimes they will have conversations amongst each other, which isn't even the craziest thing, except they have conversations with each other. They put the microphones up to their mouth and whisper to each other into the microphone. It's batshit crazy.
She had a full jumbo shrimp salad, and she wouldn't talk into the microphone when she was speaking on the show. But every time she was chewing, she had the microphone right to her mouth.
By the way, she did have a full jumbo shrimp salad.
Did I scarfed my fucking mahi-mahi before the show. I was like,
God, dude.
And she was like, she ordered, as I'm taking the last bite of my mahi-mahi, and she's like, I'll take a jumbo shrimp salad.
I have noticed that on Skanks before, though, where people, it is a weird thing people do, where they'll just break into conversation. Like, it doesn't happen a lot on Skanks, but it's happened before where people just break into conversation. Usually, I just wait for Lewis to say something about it, but it is a wild thing to do on a podcast.
Well, that's why
there's
we
not
got
too many rules.
Lewis is the enforcer, dude. That's what they call him in, dude. Call up the enforcer.
Just turn your phone to the side like you're Andrew Schultz 3 years ago. Thank you.
Damn, boy. Did Joe Harari show you? I guess another comedian went at the comedian everyone was making fun of for the past couple days.
Lev Furr.
Yeah,
dude, it's so cringy.
Like, wait. Hold on. What's the story here? Right,
so whatever. With this Friday night, we can be a little open about this. Natalie Cuomo, nice enough girl. I'm not hating on her.
You hated her, dude.
Dude, I'm not hating on
her. You hated on her and in her.
I'm not hating on her lower back. Don't worry. Look, she fucking had, a meltdown. And by the way, I've seen more seasoned comics have meltdowns.
Not like
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Nope.
Not like that.
I've seen really good seasoned comics have like fucking bad sets, lose to the audience.
This isn't a meltdown's the wrong description of what happens.
I've never seen them post video of it.
Well,
this is a lack. This is a lack of basic skills in doing this.
Sure. Yes, but that's why I said.
Yeah, but I'm not even trying to argue. I'm not even really trying to argue with you, Jay. I'm just saying I've seen people who have the skills just not have it in that moment. You know what I'm saying? And just have a bad moment
you get lost. I've never had anything like that crazy, but
Lewis, we're talking about people who have the skills.
The point
Jay,
that
so
I'm
people
making,
who have this.
To me, where that thing turns to screaming in someone's face, you have flipped over from the very, very basic of like a guy. It's essentially a guy going, just do your jokes. Like it's like the most basic level of like guys fucking with you.
Right.
Thing in the audience. And it was like, it's from there. It's like, has that adversity never been faced yet?
Well, here's the point I'm making though. I'm not even gonna hate on her for having that moment. Stop it. But I'm not gonna hate on her for having that moment because I've seen way more skilled and seasoned comics have full-fledged meltdowns.
I get your point. Yeah,
screaming at a person in the audience, having them removed.
Their mental breaks usually.
Yeah, it is like that's not even the issue. It's like her issue is she looked at it. She was like, you know what? This is a good moment to put out on the internet.
Yes.
That's the crazy thing. We're like,
it's not a the action on stage is not a mental break. That's just being lost and nervous and not knowing what to do.
It got away from you. You know, and it's not that crazy. I mean, Jay, like literally I watched you chokeslam boys.
Yeah.
We chased a bunch of Hasids out of the stand in early Legion of
Skanks. Yeah, we didn't.
None of these, by the way, you're mentioning, Lewis, are even minor overreactions.
No, they deserved every moment.
These were all things that were handled the way they's meant to be handled.
Dude, in Montreal, there was a guy who just kept on saying gay. And I was like, dude, call me gay one more time. I'm going to peg you in the face with this water bottle. And he goes, gay. And I pegged him directly in his face with a water bottle.
Jesus, really?
Yes, I swear to God. And here's the truth. I was actually aiming at his chest, but I don't have any good skills at throwing. So
right in the numbers. Ooh, helmet.
Dude, it looked like I had the best aim in the world because I said I'm gonna peg you right in the face. And then the guy ended up staying and loving the show, but it was actually a legitimately like weird, violent moment during my set. Like, I was trying to be funny. I was gonna just hit him with a water bottle in the chest lightly, but I just have goofy throwing.
But your point is you're not posting that and going, handled another one.
No, I told them, I was like, bury that video. I was like,
that's the bat shit of it. Is that it was put it out there, it's like, I think at one point it said like handles it. And then the fact that the guy texts, she reads the guy's text who's texting the guy
that was my favorite part.
And that kills in the room.
Yeah, he dunked on her again. Kills. Everyone's like, oh,
he dunks on her second thought. It's crazy.
Jay, do you remember? I remember this is, you know, 15 years ago, maybe more. But I remember me and you laughing so hard about this. So we were at CB's. And
there's something CB's was the place where a lot of this shit would go down.
CB's Comedy Club was
Wayne was the manager. We could do whatever we wanted. There was no repercussions.
It was a barked in audience that was just
nobody was filming anything at the time. Yeah. It was just the Wild West.
It was so this is and I'm not like knocking him at all because this was he was young as shit and brand new in comedy. And I don't know what but Jordan Rock, who's Chris and Tony Rock's like half brother. Maybe. Who's a good kid, huh?
He's like, maybe somewhere someone's related to somebody.
I don't know, but he was young. I mean, I think he was 18 or something like that and brand new at comedy, but it's just funny. It was just such a moment of having like all the wrong instincts. But so he's having a rough set. It's a real rough one. And it almost seems like he had heard of this move, which isn't a move that any real comics ever use, at least in this decade. But he's bombing. He's just having a rough set. And then he starts getting heckled by a guy. And then he goes, oh, hey, you think it's so easy? You want to try my job? And goes to give the guy the microphone. And Wayne Rada, who was the booker of the club, comes over and just straight up interrupts, takes the microphone, is like, no, you're not handing my microphone. No. Yeah. He hey-paled his way through the situation.
No, pal. Hey, pal.
But anyway, so then he brings up the next guy, whatever. It's a whole fucking shit show. But what me and Jay were laughing about so hard was like, it's just this thing of like having this basic instinct for comedy where you're like, look, I've never done that move in my career. I've never even thought about doing the move of offering the mic to an audience member. But the way that old move is supposed to go is you're killing. And then someone heckles you, and then you go, oh, you think it's so easy, you come up here, and there's no way you're going to be good compared to my A material that was just crushing. But when you're bombing, Jordan didn't even understand the risk he was taking. All this guy has to do is say one funny thing, and then you just gave him your microphone and the moment and everything. And
it's
just,
it kind of reminded me of that.
Like when Natalie's reading his text message, you're like, are you not thinking in your head like, hey, worst case scenario, what he texted is kind of funny. And then he gets another punchline.
Because the guy said, if she would have taken the phone, there was a great Nick DiPaolo move from back in the day where he took a guy's cell phone and he dropped it in a glass of water. And then he just gave him $1,000. It was like a baller ass fucking move. If she would have taken the phone and like fucking threw it across the room, that would have been funny. Dunked it in a glass of water.
Funny, funnier for sure. I mean, you know, I guess there's like, here's the thing. what she was trying to accomplish with what she did also was not accomplished. Because it real here's the thing in the room. First of all, that audience to me, and dare I say, sounds like our fucking fattest, ugliest legion of Skanks fan simps that found her through her being around when Lewis dated her. And that chant was so fucking Skanks reminiscent when they're chanting her name.
No, I think it is just fat.
I think,
but I don't think there are any Legion of Skanks fans that were in the
crowd. Yeah, I think it's as fun as it is to blame Lewis for it. I think it's just that she puts Lewis, pictures on the internet and gets simps.
I'm blaming our fattest, saddest simp fans for chanting and going, "We love you now." Because here's the thing, the thing, I need a drink. And then when she goes, there's so much negativity in the world right now, and you say something fucking mean to me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It begins with her making like a gay joke about them. And the guy's like, "Why assume we're a couple?" And she's like, "Why are you mad?" And she starts to go like that. And then when the guy's like, "It's not my fault you don't have material." And it's just like right there, her handling from that point on goes, "You don't understand the mechanics of that's the issue. You don't have the mechanics of this. There's just a way to handle that. There's a way to buy time right there to fucking what do you know what I mean? There's mechanics that like you don't have to over explain other than like you should know how to handle like, all right, let me kill some time and kind of assess what's going on right here. You can't do that if you're in full panic. You shouldn't be headlining a tour if you could be broken from your game from a guy going, write some material. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I've seen more established comics.
I'm saying it. I get it. Pablo Francisco had an actual mental break.
But not even like I said, Gary Goldman. Like fucking losing it and spitting on an audience member.
Sure.
A stand-up New York. I mean, I can name
but
a
also,
hand. I can name
but also, but he's going through, but Gary Goldman was generally going through a mental break at that point, for sure.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with her, but you know, she's
that didn't seem like mental break. That seemed all.
She's a wackadoodle.
Yeah, her mental break came years ago. So I don't see
that. But that moment on stage was not a break in the thing. That was her not knowing what to do. So she goes, "I'll try to own it by like alpha, like screaming in this guy's face." It's so cringe. She thought that was the move because she was like hyping it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Play it. People are saying play it. I guess this is, if you haven't seen it, probably.
Yeah, we should give some relevance to
that. And I also want to give context. I have no ill will toward Natalie. She
Me
put this
either.
Out on
She's
her
sweet.
Own.
She's sweet.
No,
she,
Lewis, she you have ill this. Will in Natalie.
And some honor. You have some ill will on her.
Too. And a little bit honor. A little bit. It got everywhere. Lewis's ill will got everywhere.
I do calling my jizz. Calling my jizz
is my
ill will.
In her hair.
Great.
Lewis, did you leave some ill will in her hair? It looks like it.
Oh, shit, dude. That's my ill will tell.
I don't know if you left too much or not enough.
No, genuinely, I've never had any negative interaction with her. If
dude,
this
no, she's a sweet girl from everything I know, and
posted,
she's doing good.
If this was a camera phone and someone posted it, I don't know if I would break it down things. She posted this like, "Look at how I handle this. That's a crazy, that's delusional."
Well, her husband should have been like, "Babe, no, you're not going to put that out." But her husband, like, what is going on there? Like,
her husband was starting a Natalie chant in the audience. You're doing great, Natalie. You're doing fantastic. No one's better than you, Natalie. It's always him. He's popping his head up. Oh, come on, oh, Natalie.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, wait, what made you want to ask him?
Why are you making it sound like we're a couple?
Oh my God, don't be scared. It's not my what?
Just don't be scared.
Oh, it's not that. Wow, you're so. Oh, it's not that. Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
I could leave right now.
Well,
I
can roast you too. You can't just roast all of us and get nothing.
Now the crowd pause it. The crowd right here is thinking like, "Oh, she's gonna have a great comeback right now." So they gave him a little bit of a whoa because like, get him, Natalie.
Lewis, all the basic kill times though of like right there, like she's doing, but she's not like hitting any of them. Do you know what I mean? She's not doing any of like the. It's like you can tell the you can almost not turn on the audience, but you can tell the audience to calm down. Do you know what I mean? What like, all right, relax, everyone. Sorry, I have to show a nipple.
It's a nipple sound.
Yeah, someone just dropped us some cash, dude. I gotta show my asshole real quick. All right,
what the fuck was this? Well, hold on. Before you play it, just like there is something too to like. I just feel like, and again, I'm really not. I really like Natalie, and I'm not like nothing against her. She's doing good. I'm happy for her. It's like, I feel like a lot of like younger comics go, like crowd work used to not be the thing that so many people did. It used to be like a few people who were like specialists at it really did a lot of crowd work. Sometimes people when they were hosting would do it. And now I feel like
when you're headlining, so I had a thing recently.
Big J. Okerson, They Them coming out on February 20th.
But listen, you've always been like one of the guys who's great at crowd work and does that.
So I had a guy who was opening for me recently. He was like producing the show as well. It's this Indian guy. Nice guy. I'm doing more shows with him.
Rob Mayhew, how many times are you going to attack this guy on the show?
He's supposed to do 25 minutes. He did, I want to say 19 to 20 minutes of crowd work and like three jokes, like everything. Just like asking everybody their occupation, their name. So literally he comes out like,
I'm slow of a pace.
Now I have to watch his entire set. Cause I'm like, okay, well, if I do any crowd work, I don't want to like touch on anything that this guy fucking touched.
Not a good idea.
Then he comes up to me after the show and he's like, dude, he's like, did you watch my set? I was like, yeah. He's like, can you give me any advice? I was like, yeah, dude, tell jokes. Like, don't fucking do crowd work the whole time. So then I feel like an asshole. If I ask one person one thing,
they're like, oh, okay, God, dude. they're married.
He's a doctor. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't listen. If you're featuring and the headliner does crowd work, you really should do very little.
I think
little
if you're featuring, if you shouldn't do, crowd you shouldn't work do at all.
You should. I mean, look, if you know, like, I think that if you know, maybe? If you know the headliner is like a straight material guy and he's cool with you doing crowd work, maybe there's that's an exception.
Whether you know or don't know, at 25 minutes, man, you should really fucking blast out your best shit. The idea is like you have a crowd in front of you, like let's go show them your fucking shit. Your shit.
Yes.
Your best shit shouldn't be your crowd work.
But there are, I'll tell you, like with the Natalie thing, right? Like there are. It's
you're really happy for her and you're happy she's doing good for herself and she's
no well girl. I'll say I think I've seen this with other like young it's like I think also because like Sam Morrell and Mark Norman and guys like that had like these crowd work clips that really blew up that a lot of younger comics are like trying to do, but you're like, yo, those guys are fucking beasts, like they're really really good comics and they have really good material and they've been doing it for a long time and just the text message that she reads, like we all know who that audience member is. He's the audience member who's almost like, why? They were roasting me, I was roasting them. I thought I was helping. Why'd she have such thin skin or whatever? But when you just crowd work like that.
He's so primed for the picking.
But I'm just making the point that like when you do crowd work like that, it's like you are inviting that audience member. You have to be able to deal with that. Like if you're not able to deal with that, you can't just go into like this crowd work thing and then like feel like, oh, I'll figure it out at the time. Like you have to have those chops.
Because those videos go viral so often.
I just stepped out to get a joint real quick. And Christine just like heard it over the phone and she goes, Natalie.
Well, because those videos go viral so often, now I think audiences show up and they think that's going to be the show now. Like, I think there's a lot of people who aren't like comedy fans. They see things on Instagram or on TikTok or whatever, and they go, oh, cool. Like, I'll talk back to the, because I've seen there has been an uptick in people like just being vocal during shows in general. And I don't really mind it because I even my material. It does start off almost crowd worky, like it always with a rhetorical question to the audience, or I'll ask somebody something, and then I get into my bit sort of based off of that. But I notice like people are way more willing to like just speak up, where it's almost like, no, dude, I don't really want you to talk back to me. It was a rhetorical question. I'm just trying to get a joke off right now. I don't want your real opinions. But anyway. So you can continue playing it, but there you see this moment where like he says you don't have any material, and she start that in this moment you just rewind it for like 10 seconds. You see her sort of like nothing swirling around. She doesn't know where she's going with it.
You can't just go, I have material, start doing material. It's like that you are letting them.
Yeah.
You have to deal with him for sure. But the way she does is.
Yeah, but Jay made a good point. Like there are just it's just having chops and doing stand up for a while. But there's lots of things you can do, like Jay was saying, like just to buy yourself time. Like you don't have to have like a thing right away. You could even be like start it with like this guy does make a good point.
My instinct on it when they said Josh Adam Myers when we were watching, he goes, what would you
think? The only thing
I had The only thing I had an answer for genuinely is like, because he was like, what would you do here? What would you hear? I'm like, I don't know. It's all like, that's such like a hypothetical. But I said right there, just the very first thing when the guy goes, it's not my fault, you don't have material. I go, well, I guess technically that would be my fault. Mm-hmm. And then like you bring the crowd on your side a little bit because you've self-deprecated and now you own that dude.
Well,
and
now, even, now
I even
would,
know that. Or even to go, what the crowd lose in all.
Now
go,
I'm not doing any jokes. Now I'm right. just going to be talking to you for the rest of the time. Like, you just like, there's a way to like sort of alpha him in that moment. You also have the microphone. They don't have a microphone.
Right. You can calm the crowd. You can go to the crowd. It's like, you know, it's like go to them. And when they're, oh, it goes, all right, what is that? Jerry Springer show, you know, whatever hack fucking line. There's just these controlling things you can go, this buys me 15 seconds to look at this guy and think anything of funny about yeah. him. I mean, geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Leave right now.
Well, I can roast you too.
You can rewind it for a second. 5 or 10 seconds. Bring it back.
Wow, you're so. It's not that. Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
I could leave right now.
Well, I can roast you too. You can't just roast all of us and get nothing.
She threatened to leave. Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa! Is that how
I see. So you were afraid because, like, you felt like I was saying your name.
I can take the mic if you want. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he's your new friend. I'll say this, like, it is such a hard time in this.
Pause it also, by the way. That implies, I know the crowd's like, a bunch of them are chanting on her name and on her side, but the, I guess you guys are friends now, means somebody else was giving her a hard time. Like, somebody else, like, didn't like her either. Like, because what's like the grouping? It's like, I guess you guys are friends now because he was shitty to her.
Well, I also, like, even, I don't know, man. Like, even, like, I think, Jay, I think you're one of the best crowd work comics like out there on like I think one of if not the best at it. And even you, like, you do have like, you have marks of like things you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, yep. You'll have an organic conversation and then like if nothing comes out of it, you have like a thing that you could go into. Yes. That's like a written thing. You got, it's not like you just go, and a lot of these younger comics, it's like they don't even have chops, and then they just go to crowd work and they're kind of hoping something happens, and then like 80% of the time just nothing happens. And then they just move on to like the next person or something.
She has chops. I shot my Will all over her chops once.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Will was on her chops.
I really don't mean to trash Natalie, but I feel bad.
She's
doing
fine.
It,
she's a great person. She's doing great, Dave.
She's doing great. I'm really happy for how great she's doing.
I've never seen anyone take Lewis's ill will like she did. It's just incredible.
So much ill will.
Well, the only reason that I'm being a little bit cautious is because we did have a weird breakup, and you know, she literally just said hi to me for like the first time since we broke up, like maybe 2 weeks.
Lewis,
ago.
You didn't have a weird breakup. Lewis moved her in like one of those, you know, outside big office buildings where they have those circular doors. Natalie just came in and left Lewis's house.
Yeah, no shit. You know what's funny? Can I tell you interesting about the crowd work thing you're saying, everybody doing crowd work? I received a very rational thing from Netflix because I guess they reached out and were like, they want to see, like, they want to do an hour, like, stand-up, like, material special. Not that they made any kind of guarantee on that, but they were like, we want to see his next hour. Not even like me pay for it. They're saying like, just when you have an hour material on tape, to give it to him, which who knows, could be a blow off. But the rationale for the crowd work thing, he was like, here's the thing. If we make your first hour special thing a crowd work thing, everybody who has specials with us is going to try to cash in on like another.
You said this on the show.
Did I? Yeah. So yeah. I was like, that's pretty rational, I guess.
Yeah, also, like, I mean, Netflix isn't like, when you really think about it, like, they bought one crowd work thing ever. And also, all the Netflix specials that are coming out now are in big theaters. There's no club specials coming out, really. Like, yeah, I mean, I think if you just did one in a theater and fucking did material, it would probably be a no-brainer. But regardless, go back to her video.
That came together to be supportive and fucking amazing, and you're putting negative, no, fucking look me in the eyes, you're putting negative fucking energy out here. This is the last show of my fucking, look me in the fucking eyes. This is the last show, look at me. This is the last show of my fucking weekend. It's a sold out show, and you want to say mean shit to me, okay? So don't fucking do that.
You know what? I decided I'm on her side.
By the way, pause it. It's like the idea that's the concept, the Cliff Notes, this is, so you guys are a gay couple. Like, why do you think we're a couple? Like, why are you mad? Because I think you're gay. That's not my fault. You don't have any material. You're just going to say mean things to people in a comedy club. It's batshit crazy.
I mean, look, but what it is is as simple as being like, he got a reaction. I want to get a bigger reaction. You don't know what to do to get that reaction.
And so she just went right into
a thing that she thought will get that reaction. That's literally
I will defend her here because I really like her. I'm happy for her and she's doing great things.
She's doing great things. Don't forget the time you put your real will on her chops.
I do.
She goes, Natalie, you're doing so good. Natalie, you got a little bit of ill will. Right.
Dude, no, here's the thing. I believe that even though she was obviously rattled, hell yeah, boys.
We're battle snakes.
She was obviously rattled. I do think she was trying to go for funny.
Nope.
No, I do. I think she
you're wrong.
Let me say this.
I don't know about that.
You can say it, but whatever you're about to say is going to be wrong.
No. I do know the girl somewhat. Like, I think she was trying. She just, once again, didn't have the ability to make the anger funny. But
me and Dave, just for the record, I'm sorry. I'm listening to you, but we're both just waiting for the next line we can make apply to being in her or on her. I'm seeing Dave's giggle every time you say a couple of words. He's like, there, no, not there, right here.
It's true. Sorry. I wasn't even hearing the point Lewis was making. I'm just hearing key words. I have no idea what
just
Lewis was
trying to find
saying.
Another pun to put.
Yeah, Lewis. She was trying to be funny. Anyway,
we're just waiting. And by the way, we sitting really waiting for the words on her in. Like, oh, here? Okay.
Such children. I shouldn't be talking down to Natalie. I'm 41 years old, and that's literally what I'm doing right now. That's my version of comedy. That's my version of comedy was like, oh, dude, I hope he says in right now. All I need is the word in, and I got my next one coming.
No, she, look, I think.
Great person. We're proud of her.
I think she was, this is why I think why she put it out as well, because whatever her gauge is, she was like, oh yeah, I was being funny and I killed him. I destroyed him.
I think it's as simple as there's a video where there's a confrontation. The crowd goes, ooh, she says something. The crowd goes, bah, and it's like, oh, this might be a moment that could get clicks on it. I think like kind of that's the new economy.
She's got a delusional sense about her that is, and I mean this in a positive way, rivals.
That's hilarious.
I'm telling you, because it rivals Kevin Hart. I did several shows young with Kev, who would have like sometimes okay sets, not good sets, bomb. And when he would come back and we would talk to Keith, he would say every time, he'd go, how are the shows? And I killed. And I know for a fact, there's just things where it's like grapevine shit where like she's had very bad shows. I'm sure she does not face adversity, but she does also have this audience. So again, it's that thing that can unravel anybody like that. You have limited to no skill, and you're being put in front of people who think you do, and you could be dismantled. It's crazy. It's like somebody lying their way into the NFL who's never played football before.
Wait, you can do that? Jay, you want to try?
The guy, that long snapper for the Eagles years ago, fucking sent somebody else's tape to his college as a middle linebacker, and he got into the college on somebody else's tape.
I like that.
Not a bad
play. You can.
But the point is, I think she just wasn't able to execute what she was. I think she was actually really angry, but I think in her mind she was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking be like, look at me. I don't think the people are being like, oh, she's fucking losing her mind, she's unraveling. I don't think she was unraveling.
I don't either.
I think she was trying to go for like, oh, I'm gonna be angry and I'm gonna alpha it, this guy.
It, I think you're right. I think it came out in like a not controlled manner, but it wasn't like she was really having a meltdown or something like that.
No, that's right. What I said, but if people keep saying she's having a meltdown, it's like, it's not a meltdown on stage. She's lost. She has no idea what to do. So she goes, exactly. So what I'll do is like, I'll take control and be like, and you're the fucking asshole, and everybody claps.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the sentence that came out was, in a world with negative things, you're being mean to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, look, like, when I have, if I have a heckler, like, I get like aggressive with them, but it's always funny. Like, it's like the crowd's always on my side. I always, I, every time I have a heckler, like, you're more like down, you like, Jay, you're like low key energy. You like kind of sit back. Like, I'll just call him names and call him a pussy and fucking, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you do, you all have different things. Like, I mean, I'll probably try to think of something clever to say, but you do like a very tongue in, you do Lewis, you do a tongue in cheek thing, but like, it's, tonight, it's a, by the way, with bravado.
With Story Wars, it was two people that were calling stuff out. And I just do it in a way where I am telling them to shut the fuck up in kind of an aggressive way, but it's still making everyone laugh. I can't even put my finger on why it works.
I don't know. That guy put his hand up and gave Lewis like a shit.
But it's like, I hate it. There also is,
hated it.
You know, there's a thing, Jay, you used to say this back in the day, which is, it's very, it's not good advice for how to like conduct your like most intimate relationships, but it's very good advice for like winning in the world, where you were like, you just don't ever let anyone have emotional control over you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not saying like if your fucking wife or your girlfriend like says something, you should like that, you should feel that if she says something bad about, but like strange. The thing is, like, you just go, like, it's very, once you do that, it's like that's step number one, and then everything else becomes a lot easier, because it's much easier. Like, you know, she's going, oh, you're offended because I called you gay, and then you're going to say this mean stuff to me. But as long as you don't let someone get you upset, then it, as soon as, if someone just like said that to me and they're just like, you know, I said they were gay, and then they go, oh, you don't have any funny material. I go, yeah, I know. I don't have material, and you're gay. We all have our shortcomings in life. You know, like, as soon as you just like,
sky's blue, water's wet,
with them, yeah, like, then, yeah, then all of a sudden,
you have some material in your mouth, probably.
Literally, just from that opening template, now there's like a million different cascading. We could all tag that up where it's like, I know, I'm a comedian without jokes, and that's my burden in life, and your burden is an 8-inch dick in your ass. As you just like,
it's kill time until you find the thing. But like, you can,
right?
It's the things, if you're too afraid to keep talking, like in whatever sense, to keep going, you're gonna be frazzled, because you're like, the next words, you're like, you like the next words have to be so powerful that I have to take the power back right away. You don't. You could just let that live in the room for a second. Take, she's zero skill. That's what I'm saying. But
all right. Well, now that's mean. But she's doing great. She's doing great.
No ill will.
I'm very proud of her. She's doing good for herself.
Good. Play the video.
Well, no skill for this. Is that fair?
You can leave.
Adversity.
Texting his friend. It's so cute. You can leave too. I won't be offended. Okay. LOL, what a fucking clown. I did warn you I would get kicked out. Man, she is sensitive, especially for a comedian.
Just a statement.
All right, say something. Get him back now.
Send the picture of the middle finger. Okay. By the way, she was smart enough in the reel to take out the second text. She was smart to remove that.
From I didn't see. This is all I saw.
There's an 8-minute video.
Oh, well,
no.
No, it's removed. It's removed. Take, she took it down.
No, but it's people put it up elsewhere.
Oh, did they?
I only saw this. What's the next text?
Oh, so the next text, so she sends the middle finger, and then she sees the guy text back, so she picks the phone back up. And I have to assume she has a joke about having two therapists. And then so he just wrote back, she opens the phone back up, and he texted back. He goes, wow, two therapists aren't enough. And the room explodes with laughter.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
It is, but again, this is like, I would always think, especially after you had the first back and forth. And I'm not, again, I really am not. I've had like, I don't, not too many, but I had like one that comes to mind in the last couple of years, like an interaction with a heckler where it was like, I just really didn't do that good.
Like the guy kind of was shitty in the middle of my show and I kind of went back and it just didn't go that good. But after that, I'd be like, when you read the text, you're just, you're giving him another shot at a punchline.
She should have, she should have made up what the text said and it would have guaranteed to not be funny.
Right. Yes. She could have done that. Yes. There's so many options.
Yeah, exactly. Why, if you have the guy's phone, you were calling them gay together and you get his phone, make the text gay. Just that simple. Say funny gay things. Honey, are you just going to stand there and leave me out here?
Yeah, I mean, it is just, but like, I don't know why I just thought about that, like, old advice that you gave, Jay, that it's like, because so much of it does flow from, you can't ever let anyone get you rattled. Because once you're rattled, you're not going to be thinking good about what the next funny thing to say is. So you have to, like, that's like the starting point. And that's the problem is, like, you could just see she's upset that he kind of got her and she's trying to get him back. That's not the place to be.
What she should be upset about is the fact that she could be got by a guy saying, it's not my fault you don't have material. That's what's crazy here. What did Lev Fur do?
So pull up Lev Fur's story. This is, it's just, and I like Lev too. Let me say this. I like him too. He's doing great.
Oh,
things.
Dude, nice Lev guy. Got a little, Lev got a little bit of your ill will. He got a bunch.
Is this a bad thing?
It's not, it's just kind of, all right, let's read it. Maybe it's not that bad. I just read it and I was like, I rolled my eyes.
I didn't get to read it yet.
Alex,
but this is supposed, but this is supposedly about her.
Instagram story, yeah. Yeah?
It's his Instagram story, yeah. Okay. Not that one. That's okay. The one. It feels like we're at a turning point in comedy where it's time for comics. Well, never mind.
Okay, well, we have to, you know.
Where it's time
can we take
for
a
comic.
Screenshot?
Yeah, you can't.
You can pause it, though. You could hold your mouse over it, can't you?
Don't let it be. Right there. This is fine.
It feels like we're at a turning point in comedy where it's time for comics to grow some balls and openly be dicks to grifters, influencers, and crowdwork hacks that have flooded our art form. They take up space because we let them. This is what you got to stand up for, to ask people how long they've been together, either write some goddamn jokes or go grift somewhere else. The industry won't change it. 99% of executives and club owners would throw an actual dog on stage if it moved 3 tickets. It falls on the comics. We've let influencers take this game over, and now your timeline is watching comics lose to hecklers.
Hey, Lev.
Shut up, Lev. You fucking...
Hey, Lev, relax.
Lev,
the grifters just... and the whatever. So all that stuff, you gotta drop that shit.
It was funny. Colin, well,
why don't you start supporting yourself fine in this business? You know, all that shit is like, it's gonna be what's gonna be, dude. People are gonna zip by you 1,000 times.
Well, you know, because the real answer is you go, oh, they'd throw a dog on stage if it would move 3 tickets. It'd be like, so move more than 3 tickets.
Yeah. Well, that's my problem.
That's the solution.
And I really do like Lev, but like, you know, he left the network and, you know, I would say
he left the network.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, doggies.
You left all over her shops.
Dude, he left over her shops. But he left the network in like a weird way. And the point that I made with Lev is like, dude, like, you're not actually a headliner yet. You're not actually moving tickets or getting fans or nobody listens to you. He had a couple thousand people listening to his podcast. And it's like, you have this expectation that like, you're this like veteran. And he said, he was like, dude, I'm a 10-year vet. So it's like, I know. It's like, dude, 10 years is nothing. The first 10 years of comedy is figuring out how to be a comic. The next 10 years is figuring out how to turn it into a career. And then the next 10 years after that is hopefully you start to make some real fucking money. And
unless the crane comes down and grabs you.
Unless you are like, it's really SNL is like the thing that pushes people quicker. Like, so it's Che or Pete Davidson or even
we have like high level like generational talent, Shane, stuff like that, exactly.
Shane was part of the SNL, even though Shane got canceled from SNL, part of that machine.
Tim took off very quick.
Schumer was maybe a 16 year vet, 17 year.
Yeah,
vet.
But Tim by 10 years was like doing incredible things. Quick. It's pretty. But that's unique. That's the unicorn. You know what I mean? That's like
Pete Davidson, Schumer. Yeah.
There's a handful of people that in the first 10 years they blew up.
Aziz.
And that was Lev's issue. He was like, you know, you don't invite me on Legion of Skanks. I was like, you won't get up to do the Real Ass Podcast ever. He thought he was above it. And I'm like, Real Ass Podcast literally has 20 times the viewership of your podcast. Come and kill on the show a bunch. And he literally left being like, he was like, yeah, you only brought me on Legion of Skanks one time. Like, you could have done that more. And I was like, dude, it was like, your self-assessment is just a little bit off. And Lev is funny. He's a funny comic.
Mike Fenoglia hasn't been on for 7 years.
Yeah. And as soon as we get Lev on again, we'll get Fenoglia back on.
Put them together.
That's kind of crazy too. It's also not like the idea that you would expect if you're a part of Gas Digital that therefore you should be invited regularly on Legion of Skanks is like, that's not exactly how it works.
It's also the young bucks who get on Legion of Skanks from doing like Real Ass Podcast or Lewis and Zach show. It's like they kill multiple times. They keep on coming on and killing. And
yes,
like,
oh, that's our business model. We lock you in a room with Lewis and Zach. And if you survive,
that's the fun,
then maybe you'll see The Stand.
But I mean, that's sort of like, you know, that's when I come to Legion of Skanks and try to put a young comic on, it's because somebody's killed so many times on Lewis and Zach or Real Ass Podcast. I'm like, oh, they'll fucking kill on Legion of Skanks. They're like, and very often what happens is they come on Legion of Skanks and they're like a deer in headlights because they get intimidated by a bigger show.
I also don't like the, and I've really, you know, when I was around Lev's time in comedy, I probably would have had some similar views. I think it's kind of like a thing grow out of. Like,
no, no, no.
The idea of going also like, media, oh, dude, you're asking everyone what their jobs are or something like that. None of that matters. Those aren't the fucking rules. Like, if you're entertaining your crowd and you're selling tickets, then you're doing a really good job. It doesn't matter what any of us think about, like, well, it's
Carrot
supposed
Top
to be this
jokes.
Way. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Carrot Top
also
had a theater of people laughing at him.
People
that's
that are actually
what matters.
Doing shit aren't worried about what other people are doing.
Right.
We every comic, yeah. every at 10 years, all three of us were guilty of this.
Yeah.
We
oh,
all would
yeah,
look
yeah.
to our neighbors and go, what do they have going on? Why are they getting shit? When you get to a certain level, you stop doing that. You start
well,
going, like, oh, I
have
enough.
Listen, not completely. I said, I'll speak about it. I go, I'll call whether it's like whoever manager or whether talk to Christina, be like, I'm having a hard time keeping my eyes forward. That's actually how I word it whenever I have that. It happens once in a while, every couple years, something pops for, and you're like, you see a little thing, you start getting that envy, and you're like, damn, dude, like, fuck it. But like, you work through it, because I've also been through it 30,000 times. You know what I mean? So it's like,
well, just most comics that are doing shit don't give a shit about what younger, less skilled comics are doing, whether they're successful or not. It just doesn't fucking matter.
Well, it doesn't play into my fucking world. It doesn't matter. I mean, Ralph Barbosa, that's another like meteoric rise, but I've met Ralph. He's very sweet. Great.
Very nice. Like, I really like him a lot. Like,
yeah, Ralph's
but like Lev is showing his ass as being a young comic by putting something up like that. He's also going like, we need to step. It's like, Lev, you're not a representative
yeah,
of real
comics.
Comics.
And by the way, the joke of that would always be, it's like the back table at the Cellar, and like, sure, they did bust the balls, but like, it also wasn't, that table didn't exist in an era of like, you're going to have to make way because this club is going to start booking YouTube comedians and Instagram famous people. It's going to happen.
The Cellar almost gives people like an ego now too. And there's so many shit comics that work the Comedy Cellar.
I
went on the lineup the other day because I was looking for somebody. Was it maybe for Story Wars? I was like, who's in town? Let me think. And the lineup is a bunch of what I would consider horrific comedians. A bunch of them.
There's nowhere to hang at the Cellar, and there's no. I don't get it at all. The place is just, it's a factory thing. It's not that it's lost its like appeal so much to me.
Yeah. And once again, I don't want to fucking just shit on Lev, but it's like, Lev, just stop being cringy. So you're a 10-year fucking comic. You're just figuring it out. You don't have an audience.
Yeah, don't jump on the soapbox, dude. You got too much to lose. There's probably, you're young enough that there's too much of you doing something stupidly young, not including this thing here.
Dude, he made a documentary when he was a year in comedy about himself.
Please watch it. Could we please watch it right now for the next half hour of the show?
Is it on? We did it on Real Ass Podcast a decade ago, but please bring it up.
I believe that Lev brought it to you for Real Ass Podcast.
No, he did.
I've been looking. I know he took it off the internet. Other than that, though, I've been looking for it for a long time.
It's called Lev Fur. Lev Fur 19. Listen, it's called Lev Fur 19. And he was going to do one every year. to document.
What is that's so awful. That was his plan.
He was 19 every year. Time.
Dude, I
follow the journey.
I no, nothing
it was
like,
against it was Lev. Black and white.
No ill will.
No, dude, ill will all over his face for that dumb shit. Follow me year by year. What?
Yeah,
it was, who did that? Who was the guy? Another comic, like a black comic, who I really liked, but he was young when he did it too, and he made like a documentary.
Nico White.
That's right. I really liked him. I don't know what he's doing these days.
He's doing comedy. He's doing great.
He was always I thought he was talented, and I liked him a lot as a kid. But he's just
19.
An early young documentary is the worst idea ever, so, man.
I wake up and right away I'm thinking comedy. The second I wake up, I grab my notepad. I start writing down my dreams. That's where it starts.
I mean, Lev is putting this whole speech out being like, we need to, it's like, no, Lev, I'm going to include you in that fucking weird grifter conversation because that's a fucking, it's just so like,
that's wacky. I thought that wasn't going to be so bad. Actually. It's like, yeah, dude, it's like, you're the wrong person to just be stamped. First of all, there's no one should be standing up to this. This is what happens. They're delusional enough to go check me out destroying this motherfucker, and then we all get to laugh at it. Like, that's what the thing is.
Well, the thing about it is that it's like, look, the three of us, which has become the running joke on this show, right? We've all said multiple different times in this show, been like, nothing against Natalie, you know, the ill will, like all this. Proud it comes her. From us being like, hey, well, look, actually, we're not trying to like knock you. It's just this is kind of an interesting moment to us because this is our craft. So it's kind of interesting to be like, oh, here's the thing that's going on. Here's what could have happened. Here's what you got to learn to do. Lev, it's like even we have that. For you to like just post like blasting these people, it's like, eh,
you're just not
you
the
really
guy to blast.
Shouldn't
and
doing,
that,
you shouldn't be doing
anybody
that.
That is the guy to blast is too far along to care and has too much going on. They're touring. They're writing.
I've been doing comedy since Lev was three.
Yeah,
that's wacky.
Yeah, you've seen that documentary, Lev for Three. He's like, I'm funny.
For three.
I'm funny, but you're funny, young
Gaga,
boy.
Grifters. Stand up for selves. Tell
by the way, always, and I have, as I said before, I have been so guilty of being this guy. But like the guy who's complaining about like what everybody else, it's just so bad. Dude, I saw
Lord Jeselnik is right about that with the things or people complaining about like, and the world's not ready for you and all the shit. It's so. Again, at 10 years, man, you shouldn't feel like it's like, dude, I'm dangerous. It's like, nah,
well, I'll tell you, I saw
figuring it out, man.
I saw a post by this guy who I don't even want to say who it's from. It doesn't matter.
We're putting everyone on blast today, Dave. We can't pull back now. We've been naming
all right,
names
fine.
Like a motherfucker.
All right, fine. I don't even know if people really listening would know this, but it was from it was Mike Lawrence. If you remember him, so I saw he posted and he had a
That's
thing.
The most insulting thing, Mike Lawrence. You guys probably don't even know.
Well, I was saying I know you two know him. I'm saying I don't know
of
if
course,
our
no,
audience would really know him.
I think
him.
A lot
he's
of our audience knows him because he used to be in the Roast Masters a lot.
He's been on Legion of Skanks before.
He won't do Skankfest because he has politicized us. He's like, those guys are right wing. Like, you know,
so
like,
he went. No, he had this whole.
Really?
Well, he had this whole post. It really kind of bugged me. It really like rubbed me the wrong way. But it's on the same thing. It's like complaining about this shit. And he's like, you know, people call me like, you know, people forever said that I was only a leftist because that's what would help you advance in the industry and all this. But really, like right now, you don't even have to write jokes if you could just be a right wing conspiracy theorist and then go start a podcast and then you just make all this money and blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of interesting. You're like, dude, and I've had from a few other people who have said things along those lines. No. I didn't take it as personally.
I mean, Dave falls
made.
Under the umbrella. Yes.
Sure.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm one of I'm
you
part
took,
of that group.
You accepted what like Schultz did with Kendrick.
Well, it's just
There's this thing. I've had a bunch of these other people who literally, Jay, you were a little bit like kind of, you know, you were in a different generation of comedy. This is really more me and Lewis, where a lot of these people who I watched have all of the doors in the world opened for them, yep. like very early on in comedy, while we got none of that and went, okay. And
not
sure,
even that we deserved it. Not even that we deserved it.
No, no, no. We didn't. That we and we bitched and moaned. Listen. No, we were real Lev Furs about it. We bitched and complained and we and like whatever. I'm not saying we handled it great. I'm just saying that these guys had all these doors open for them.
Let me say this in part of it too. Like I actually had I didn't have tons, but I had some doors open. Like I would go and like not come through with the thing. You know, I did New Faces.
Yeah. Well, I've but it's crazy to me to watch and Lewis knows what I'm talking. Like these guys who had all the doors open for him, had opportunity after opportunity, got late nights and writing gigs and agents and managers and MTV stuff and festivals and all this stuff that we didn't get at all. And that sucked. We had to swallow that. We had to go through our Lev Fur phase.
You know who
and
then we had to go that? My ill will.
Well, this goes both Natalie and Lev Fur. But then we went, okay, we got to figure something out. And we went and started these podcasts and the podcast got bigger. And then we developed an audience. Then, and now finally after this, for the last 6 weeks, the culture has kind of swung back in an anti-woke direction. And those comics are going to start bitching that this is all a grift. You're like, motherfucker. Fucker, I did this podcast with you two for a decade before nothing. I wasn't 3 months behind on rent.
For the love of saying the N-word.
Just for the love of the game. Just for the fight. So it's just, I don't know. There's just a lot of, it's like, look, again, at all of this, if you're making a salary at being a comedian, if you're making 60 grand a year doing comedy, you can't, you're not a victim. Like you can't really complain about anything. Other people have to fucking like do, like be a roofer a lot of those to make people, that Jen, money.
Your generation as well, a lot, we saw this happen a lot, right? And I guess we were in this like transitional period, right? Where it was like, it went from old industry to like, now it's completely everyone just podcast, TikTok, whatever, right? We were sort of the transitional because we did a lot of those things that you're supposed to do, the New Faces and, you know, trying to do late night and doing Comedy Central shows. And like, we did a handful of those things. I didn't excel at those things. That just wasn't my thing. But like, there's a lot of guys that were from our generation and definitely from Jay's generation where it's like they depended so much on Comedy Central, which is now a defunct network. They depended so much on new faces and agents. And we were just talking to Rick Dorfman the other day and he was saying to Jay, he was like, dude, I don't even know how to fucking like, how do you advise a client these days? Get better at the internet? That's like a crazy thing. But there's a lot of people who just didn't build the audience because they had the padding and they had a development deal or they got a $100,000 a year writing gig for a show that is no longer around, but they didn't develop an audience. And now,
and then they go, and then they turn to us and go, you guys are lucky.
Yep.
And you're like, we're not lucky. Like we did it. Well, thing you're supposed to do.
That hindsight and reflection, though, I said, that's come also with age and time. It's why I said Lev's thing. Remind me, Lewis, you said about Rick Dorfman the other night at the thing. I tell him that story where I was like, he was a guy I called when I was 19 and I called him to, I was like, I need a manager. I've got BET's Comic View. So I'm looking for a manager. He's like, how long have you been doing comedy for? I was like, 3 months. And he was like, yeah, I don't think you need a manager. And I held like a weird grip for years. When I would hear Rick Dorfman's name, I'd be like, guy's a fucking
the guy who screwed me over.
Well, it wasn't that screwed me over. It was that I was like, he should have been. Here's what it was. I wasn't a dumbass. I was naive to the thing. So I wasn't stupid. What my thing was like, you know, dude, when a guy calls you like that, even when I learned to have to, I knew that was a ridiculous thing to do. Pretty quick. You know what I mean? Within a few years of comedy, that's insane to do that. To call me as a manager. But I was like, but why not take the time, 5 seconds to go, but kid, you know, keep your chin up, just keep writing and blah, blah, blah. I said, he was very just kind of like, yeah, dude, I don't even know how to help you. It's like 3 months in, you don't have to worry about management, just do comedy. And just kind of like, you know, hung up with me quick. And I was kind of like, what a fucking asshole. But in you know, this many years in the comedy, I'm like, well, what the fuck? You know what I mean? It's like dumb shit like that was happening to him all the time. Need a manager. Been doing comedy for 6 months. Like, beat it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. I don't know if I agree. Like, I agree with what you're where you're coming to now. But I'm saying I don't know. And I've had this kind of dilemma a few times in my life. I don't really necessarily believe in encouraging somebody who's 3 months in. Like, I'm saying, right. I think it's almost like, hey, if you need that encouragement and you weren't going to do it without that, then maybe if you're not supposed to do this, I don't want to encourage you to keep doing this. Like, you have to have something within you that's going to keep you going down this path.
I don't think it's Dorfman's
job to fucking do that for you. You know?
He said it in the beginning of this episode where it's like most comics, you're not even going to know till you're 10 years in. If this is even a viable option of a career as a career, you're going to have to, most comics have to spend a decade to figure out, am I funny enough that this is going to be a career or is this a hobby that I've done for 10 years?
Dude, Soder quit day jobs. I mean, ridiculous amount of time in the comedy.
No, I know.
Yeah. You know I mean, like he really like that's it's,
I said this to my cousin, one of my cousins hit me up being like, she was like, I really want to try stand up. Like everyone thinks I'm funny. And I had to give her like a real, like, you know, this is a couple of years ago, at least 3 or 4 years ago. But I gave her that whole speech. I was like, just so you know, I was like, these are some comics you should listen to. And I gave her a list of like great comics. I was like, your taste has to be good. So hopefully you have good taste. If people think you're funny, that's like the number one step. Like if you make all of your friends laugh, at least you have that skill set of being a funny human being, which most comics lack. They just get into it because it seems like there's no barrier of entry. I was like, but just so you know, it's going to be a decade before you know if you're really good and if it can be a career. And I gave her, it was a really long email I wrote her. And then she was like, no, I don't want to do that.
By the way, you know, it's kind of funny. Like that was really the thing with Isabella. Like Isabella, when she said she wanted to try it, she took the class and she ended up doing it and she never did it again. Her thing was really just like, she does know what I did. And then her mother doing it too in the lower level. Like she saw that kind of again with her mom through that. So it's like, she kind of goes like, yeah, like she like at that age, she was kind of like, she got into the idea of seeing me go at the Cellar on the weekends. You know, she would come stay with me and come to the Cellar and see those shows. And then, but then she was also seeing her mom at the time doing open mics. And she was like, yeah, I don't want to stay out 5 days a week, like just with five other comics at a place performing for each other half the time.
The first
like,
2-3 years, you're just bad at it. That sucks. Dude, it's just like, it's, I mean, don't go wrong. You can still do well. We all did well very early.
I looked at well, dude, I'm telling you, I really, really, as dumb as it sounds, I say it was a luck out because it was the Black Comedy Club, but it was I believed open mic was supposed to be a sold out 250 seat place with a DJ and the crowd.
Your scene had a cool thing.
Just that thing. That was like, the only open mic.
Just like, this is what comedy is. There's a 2 chicken wing minimum. And then you packed out the room.
Well, the beauty of that was that when it went bad in those rooms, it went so bad that it made me, when I did come to New York, what I wasn't afraid of was a small, empty audience. Because I was like, I go, they're not going to turn on me and call me a fucking stupid-ass white boy, make it to your
car. They're not going to beat me up after the show, yeah, probably.
I think they came in here because they wanted to laugh and have a comedy show. So I think it's my game to lose, sort of, right? But I'm proud of Natalie.
let's do some plugs real quick. We got a little bit of time left here. We've been going for about an hour, and this is a late night show, so we're not going to do a crazy long one. But let's get some plugs going. And
can I go first?
Yeah, please. Jay.
BigJComedy.com or punchup.live/BigJOkerson. Go there for all my dates. Big J Okerson's Peter North American tour coming on a city near you. Look for that city near you. I'm all over the place. Orlando this weekend. If we have one more night for those, Syracuse coming up. After that, me and Luis are going to be out in Los Angeles. We're doing the Comedy Store. I'm headlining the 8 o'clock show. Luis is going to be on that show with me. And then we're doing a 10:30 p.m. same night, February 19th, Wednesday. We are doing a live recording of Story Wars from the Comedy Store main room. Luis, right?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. I go after that weekend to Ontario, California. And then I'm all over the motherfucking place. Look for a city near you again. Big J Okerson's Peter North American tour. My double crowd work special coming out first half. Them coming out on the 20th of February. It's a Thursday, February 20th. That is official. It is happening. If they change it again, I apologize. But they told me this was really it. So I don't keep sounding like an asshole. Make sure you guys, as soon as it comes out, man, please watch it. Fucking comment. all that stuff. Go to my YouTube page, Big J Okerson, I think. And Bonfire and Story Wars.
Come see me live on the road. The Bring Five Friends tour coming to a city near you tomorrow night. I'll be in Winnipeg. Hopefully I made it on Thursday. We'll see what happens with the weather in the morning, but that's okay. Then I got Salt Lake City coming up just in a couple weeks. What else do I got? South Bend, Indiana for the first time. I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina for the first time. Doing Philadelphia my birthday weekend, which should be a lot of fun. We're doing the Nashville Comedy Festival, both Legion of Skanks and Story Wars as well. That's coming up in April, which is pretty fucking sick. And yeah, I got a bunch of tour dates coming. Just keep on coming out. And it's all culminating with my brand new special that I'm filming, which is tentatively titled Praised by Wolves. What do you think of that title? Praised by Wolves.
I like that.
Thanks. I like it. That's because you spend so much time in Wonkakahaka, Ontario, Quebec, Canada.
I have an actual wolf opening for me.
Umakahaka Wakahaya.
But yeah, July 12th, I'm going to be filming in Tampa, Florida at Side Splitters, which is one of the best clubs in the country. Everyone agrees it's one of the best in the country.
I'm doing it for the first time this year.
You've never been to Side Splitters?
Never done Side Splitters?
That's actually crazy.
I was at Tampa Improv.
That's actually bonkers. You're going to love it, dude. It's an incredible club.
It's a really, really fun room, man.
Yeah. Bobby Kelly's going to be directing it. Zach Amico going to be opening up the whole weekend, which is going to be a lot of fun. The tickets for the actual special taping, it's only maybe 20, 30 tickets left for each show. But you can come on Thursday or Friday. So get them in advance. If you guys want to come, get them in advance because it's going to be a big weekend. And I got a bunch of other stuff coming up. Just go to my website, lewisofskanks.com. Sign up for my mailing list. You can always find out where I'm coming into town. I do a bonus podcast that you get by subscribing. And check out all the other pods, the Lewis and Zach Show, Story Wars, and obviously the Regs as well. And you guys are the best. You're already subscribed. So maybe tell a friend to subscribe to Gas Digital. Why not?
Tell five friends.
Tell five friends tour.
Davey.
This is Friday. Tonight and tomorrow night, I'll be in Key West, Florida at Comedy Key West. Looking forward to getting some sun and hanging out there. And then February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, I will be at the Punchline in Houston, Texas. Then Helium in Buffalo, Laugh Boston in Boston. And my first time going back to Boston in I think 3 years, and it's one of my favorite comedy towns. So I'm excited to be back. The last time I did Boston was the night before the vaccine passport went into effect. It was the last show where you didn't have to show proof of vaccination to get in. And then, the world's changed a lot.
Go to Mike's Roast Beef while you're there.
I love Mike's Roast Beef. I have been there before. Great spot. I will do my best to get that. And then, as Lewis said, Nashville. Then I'll be at the Zanies in Chicago and Rosemont, which are two of my favorite clubs in the country. American Comedy Company in San Diego, another one of my favorite clubs. I got a lot of my favorite spots coming up. ComicDavidSmith.com for all the ticket links for the pretty much, I think the rest of the year is up there. I think there's a few spots that haven't been put up on the website yet, but pretty much the rest of my year is up on ComicDaveSmith.com. ParTOfTheProblem.com is my, the site to support my other podcast. My comedy specials are up for free on YouTube. And I think that's all. Also, if you're listening to this and you happen to be a senator, confirm Bobby Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard, why don't you?
And Corinne Fisher for mayor.
Oh, yeah. I for the record, I didn't endorse that one. But if she happens to.
You're big Corinne Fisher head.
Oh, I'm not saying I can't make Corinne Fisher mayor if I want to.
Dude, make her mayor.
I'm saying, yes.
Is it serious or is it all a joke? I know it's not.
Running for mayor?
I know it's running for mayor. I know it's not serious that she thinks she's going to win, but I mean, like, is she seriously trying to stir something?
Of what is she running for?
New York City.
Oh, I don't think she's going to win that.
Well, she's got a little video.
Well, she did do a political podcast where she demonstrated that she doesn't have anything.
You didn't see her. She has a campaign video.
So that's. No, she doesn't. Oh, man, this is worse than
Natalie Cuomo. Fisher's alive and Irv Gotti's dead. This is ridiculous.
What happened?
Irv Gotti died.
today?
Yeah.
Is Irv Gotti dead?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was it murder?
Irv Gotti died of natural causes.
Diabetes.
Dude, that's really fun.
It's diabetes.
We're putting people on blast on the Friday Night Hang. I like this. This is a new thing, dude. Name
well, wait a second. Is this on blast? I'm asking if it's a real like campaign thing.
Well, by the way, it is a funny thing. I don't know if our audience appreciates it or not, but it is like in our heart of hearts, all three of us, we do love putting other comedians on blast and also talking shop about the craft of comedy. I hope you guys enjoy listening to this because I really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, they do.
Leo Munayer says, I love this so much. Yeah, dude, but maybe this would be a new thing. Friday Night Hang, we put people on blast behind the paywall. It'll never get back to them, right? Come on.
What if it's impossible.
But everybody in here has to agree not to turn on. What if they turn on us?
They're all going to turn on us.
Yeah, someone in here will turn on us, right?
Blue Jay Okerson says, I thought it was poor etiquette to talk in chat. Now you can chat, Blue Jay Okerson. It's not poor etiquette.
Oh, no. Chat it up. That's not bad etiquette. It's bad etiquette to take yourself off mute and start talking in the middle of the show.
Here, make it big.
You know what? She already lost my vote.
Yeah. Why?
White woman?
Hi, I'm Corinne Fisher. I'm a New Yorker, and I'm pissed. That's why I'm running for mayor. It's time to let the corrupt politicians destroying our city know we aren't doing this anymore. I moved to New York City when I was 17 to follow my dream of becoming an artist. I bet on myself, and I won.
This is a joke. She's joking.
Now, I want all New Yorkers to be winning.
No, she's not.
More rent-controlled apartments, capping rent for our beloved small businesses, and tax breaks for New Yorkers who volunteer at one of our over 45,000 citywide nonprofits. I want you to spend less time worrying about how you can afford to stay in New York City and more time being a part of it safely. As mayor, I will hold the NYPD to higher standards, including mandatory periodic mental health checks and a zero tolerance policy on racism.
They're not going to arrest anybody then.
Isn't something to brag about. Being the best will be. But amidst all the chaos, let's not forget about the magic of New York City. My audition-based affordable artist housing will keep the culture of the city alive and will encourage the most talented people in the world to choose New York City as their home, which will always be a place where immigrants and members of the LGBTQ+ community are welcome. No matter what direction America is moving in, New York City will keep moving forward.
Pause it. I just don't believe in most of this horseshit. That's the problem.
This isn't real.
It is real.
This is a joke. Okay. Israel? I don't think Corinne could survive the scrutiny of one follow-up question on any of the points she just made.
Who will you debate her?
I think she would. Me debating Corinne would be me just asking her questions that she can't answer. No, she's kidding. This is not real.
It's a joke. I swear to God, she's not kidding.
No,
she's kidding. Dave. One of our road managers is her treasurer.
No, but
one of our road managers.
I'm saying, but the whole
just
thing
got like fired.
The whole thing's a bit. It's a bit. She's doing like a.
It's not a bit.
She's doing. She's like, not. This she's is
doing,
a bit.
She's doing like vocal fry at the end of her sentences. She's like, well, the police.
I'm telling you right now, it's not a bit. I've spoken to her about it. She's like, you're going to support me, right? I was like, no way. I'm voting for Eric Adams.
No,
I don't even like Eric Adams, but I'm going to donate to his campaign now.
And he's a black. Could you imagine how much I don't want you to be here?
Corinne, you made me give money to a black. Do you know that?
You bitch. What's the why?
That's actually her next video. Why? I'll tell you why, because I'm fierce.
Well,
police aren't being cool to the LGBT, Jay.
She's not going to put like money into like heavy campaigning. Likes or anything, no. So it's like this is just like a dumb. No. It's like as I'm saying, it's like a bit. So it's a bit.
It's as much of a. No, I think she's really running, but yes, it's a bit because I don't believe.
All right, she's running. But really, when porn stars ran for president before, remember, like Mary Carey ran for president. You just do the thing. I'm saying it's part of like a bit. Like she's not like she's like I could do this.
Look, join our campaign, CorinneFisher.com. Donate. I'll donate some ill will. Close your eyes, Corinne. I have some ill will for you.
Oh my lord! No, why?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Why are you? You're a
high cost of living. My solution: no more added fees for residents. Instead, a small tourist fee for visitors. All right, what a brilliant idea.
More rent
control. More rent control. Oh, more. I was running on less. Okay. Yeah, now this is ridiculous.
Capped.
Corporations must pay employees a minimum of $20 an hour.
I'll tackle the homelessness epidemic affecting over 100,000 New Yorkers.
If I was mayor, I would just tackle homeless people.
Head on by helping them.
I'd vote for Lewis over this bullshit.
Come here, homeless guy. Get on the ground, bitch. Get a job.
Oh, man.
Why does she want to do this?
Why does anyone want to be mayor? To live in the fucking mayor mansion, dude, the Gracie Manor. Which, by the way, do you know was actually Gracie Manor's
is
own,
a Gracie.
The actual Gracies, like Hoist Gracie's family, don't.
Well, it's like a distant cousin of theirs, I think. Yeah, but it is from the same Gracie genetic pool.
Yep.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, they were definitely no letting
Corinne Fisher live in that manor before I do.
Corinne, you'll get triangle choked before you get in the Gracie Manor.
I am a blue belt with one stripe, Corinne. What do you got?
Corinne, what do you say you let me spill my ill will in your new manor?
Well, I like Corinne. Corinne's a friend. You know, God bless her.
Yeah, I wish her no ill will. But
she's great. She's doing great things. I really
like
her.
That's what we do. She's doing fantastic. No, I've become very good friends with Corinne over the year. We've known all these people that we've known. That's what's in this. Time goes by. Even if you've had like shit and snippy things, whatever it is, you're like, holy shit, man. It's like 20 years I've known a person. So like, Corinne and Christine, we've known for at least like a decade now. So like,
yeah, probably than a decade.
I'm friends with absolutely. So it's like we're friends.
I'm not friends with either of them, but I fucking I got nothing against them for sure. I just think like, I don't know, maybe I'm being the dick here, but it's like I just don't get the thing of wanting to have something to say about politics when you don't actually have anything to say. I guess that's just like what.
Why do you think she has nothing to say? I'm not saying you're wrong.
Because she has nothing to say. Because she's never read a book about any of the topics that she's talking about. She doesn't actually have anything to say about it.
You know that
them.
For sure. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I could size it up pretty quickly.
Why? Because she goes, how about we have better police?
Yeah, it's like you don't actually have anything. You don't actually have an opinion on
being
this.
Accountable. They're not gonna be, our cops aren't going to be racist anymore.
Yes,
what are they going to fucking close their eyes? They're going to have to be a little racist to fight crime, Corinne.
Goodbye, racism.
Goodbye, racism. Hello,
I promise.
Flowers.
For every black killed by the cops, two whites will be killed.
I've listened to two of Corinne's podcasts ever. There, it was one where she fought with Joe DeRosa about abortion, one where Rob Bernstein just fucking destroyed her and her entire panel about COVID in the middle of COVID. And I'm just saying, it doesn't take any more than me listening to those two podcasts to just, in the same way, Jay, if you were to talk about the Eagles with somebody, you could tell if someone was pretending to have ever watched an Eagles game or if they're a fan of the Eagles.
We know.
Like, I could just tell if you're pretending or you're not.
We know somebody who did that.
I know. Is this something I should get?
Names. This is Friday Night Hang.
I'm not naming this, but this is not a person involved in it, but I'll send it to you guys.
No, sure. But that's all I'm saying. I just know she doesn't have anything. She doesn't know anything.
In my city, Eagles will fly free. She thinks probably Eagles.
You see that, Davey?
Oh yeah, I don't even remember, but I'm sure that sounds just about right.
I'm sent to you now.
We made a decision that we were naming names on the Friday Night Hang.
Yeah, but this is just this is a very civilian.
Oh well, that's even more the reason why you could say it.
No, it's a civilian that probably listen and would be. So
no, he doesn't listen at all.
Well, he says he does, but he might be lying.
He might.
He's a liar. We figured this out, dude.
He knows about the Eagles and Corinne knows about
government.
I can look up his
name and see if he's a Gas Digital subscriber. I highly doubt it.
I don't know if you're talking about G Mike. Oh, it's a little late in the show to get into this, but did you hear? I heard we're naming names. I heard there was beef between Jeff Leach and Andrew Schultz.
Is there?
No.
Yeah.
No, Andrew Schultz doesn't know who Jeff Leach is.
Jeff the Leach?
No, I know. I heard it was that. I heard it was Jeff Leach was going at it. And then I think the first thing Schultz said back was like, Jeff, you just asked me to produce your special 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yikes, that's the Trump card right there. You just asked me. That's what I said when that James Adomian kid came at us with the Milo Yiannopoulos thing. He's coming at us. I go, you asked if you can crash at my fucking house for like an odd amount of days, and we're not really friends. Like, that's a fuck. Yeah. Like, that's a weird thing that your next move to be.
I like this episode. We're spilling tea.
Spilling the fucking tea. Speaking of which, I'm going to fucking make myself some sleepy time tea with valerian root in a moment.
Ooh, look at that.
Oh, a little sleepy time tea.
I love my sleepy time tea. I'm kind of hoping my flight's canceled tomorrow now.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired. It's a Thursday night. I hate doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just put them all on Friday, Saturday.
Me too. The guys at Key West tried to get me to do a Wednesday, Thursday night.
Yeah.
Well, that's night, Friday, Saturday, which is insane.
Here's one thing to be said for this, especially if you're traveling any kind of distance too. There is something to like the Thursday night. Doing two shows the night you land sort of sucks.
That's true.
The last show is not going to be the energy, man. So it's the Thursday show does get you that, like, Friday's going to be, it's nice. You're done by like 9 o'clock. And then,
I like doing one show per night, period, dude. Give me a Thursday, Friday, Saturday with one show per night.
It's the only, the only beauty of the theater world is just that, that it's like you do a show. Is nice.
I only do empty movie theaters, Jay. Well, yeah, while I get booked in a movie theater. That Emmaus room is fucking really fun. Emmaus, Pennsylvania?
Never done it.
It's like a movie theater. It's just fucking really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool, dude. I swear.
It's really cool. We're very proud of it, and we're glad it's doing good. Should we wrap this bitch up?
Wrap it up, baby.
Let's do
always
it.
It's fun hanging with the boys, everybody. Make sure you check out Davey if you're in Key West. Check me on Orlando this weekend. And check Lewis out home from the snow.
No, in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. If you don't go tomorrow, you'd still be there.
I'd still go Friday, Saturday.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but we'll say it's supposed to start icing all through the morning.
We'll find out if I'm in Orlando, I guess, too. But we'll be back next week for the live show for Legion of Skanks, everybody. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.